I'm Nick Frost.
I'm Edgar Wright.
And you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
Greetings, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and we are the Fat Guys at the Movies. And this week, Jason Bourne comes back, and Kevin Carr goes away. I'm here in the magical studio in the sky all by myself, and Kevin is in an undisclosed location, probably a bunker, hanging out with Vice President Dick Cheney. Kevin, where the heck are you?
I'm dodging bullets is what I'm doing, hanging out with Dick Cheney. We've been drinking beers the whole time, and he's been shooting at us. No, just kidding. We don't really mean that to all our good friends out in Wyoming who are putting this on the radio for us. I'm in an undisclosed location. We are doing this via satellite, so to speak.
Or the interwebs, whatever.
Interwebs, whatever it is. But it's high tech. It's amazing. The fat guys at the movies have really gone high tech simply because we're in different states. And I'm on pseudo vacation, and Neil is trying to get his life back together after Comic-Con.
Yes, trying to overcome the hangover of Comic-Con.
The hangover of Comic-Con. And how many hours of sleep did you actually get at Comic-Con while you were there?
Three, which is less than the amount of days that we were there. So
that's why you were so cranky near the end.
Yeah, that would explain the mood on Sunday.
You wouldn't answer your texts. You'd be like, okay, I'm just going to go do this. I need to go. Now I'm going to go hang out with more celebrities.
Right. But let me tell you, it was one heck of a time. So.
Yes, but that time is over, and we must move on into the dreary month of August with the films that we have coming out. Although this week isn't as dreary as you might think. Of course, we'll get into the movie reviews in a second, but Neil, how do they get a hold of us if the good viewers want to talk to us?
Well, if you would like to get a hold of us, of course, you can get us online, fatguysatthemovies.com. You can also catch us on iTunes. Just go to the iTunes store and type in Fat Guys the Movies in the search, and we will pop right up. If you'd like to email us, just email fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. And, of course, if you'd like to give us a call, it is area code 614-388-8735. That is 388-TREK.
For any fans out there of Star Trek. Before we move on to reviewing the films, there's a little thing. I didn't even talk to you about this in show prep, Neil, but I think it's always fun to get reviews. It's not about you, even. It's fun to get reviews of us. You know, who's reviewing the reviewers, so to speak. I'd like to share a recent feedback that I received for one of my reviews that we didn't cover on Fat Guys at the Movies, but I did cover on my website, 7mpictures.com. It's in regards to my review of Fast Food Nation, which I didn't like. Did you see Fast Food Nation?
Yeah, I did. Didn't really like it either.
It just kind of went nowhere, and it was very typical of Richard Linklater, who just sort of like throws people, characters onto the screen, and they sort of bounce around like billiard balls and occasionally hit each other and then kind of go nowhere.
Right.
That's sort of my thing. But anyway, so this guy, it's from Mark Villard, I think is how you pronounce his name. I will not give his email address, but if he's listening to this, he'll love the... Yeah, this is a Fast Food Nation review. Quote, "Your review for Fast Food Nation was stupid. You've missed the point, and apparently you're so set in your ways, you couldn't give a expletive deleted anyways. You're an idiot. I know that hurling insults isn't constructive, but in your case, it's all you deserve. With much contempt, Mark."
Nice.
Doesn't that just warm the cockles of your heart?
Actually, my first thought was, wow, this guy really knows you.
Yeah. Well, you know, but this is the I love getting reviews like this because, you know, there's an old saying that whether they love you or they hate you, at least they're paying attention. And
right.
I can work on people loving me later. Right now, I'm just worried about getting attention. So let's
because
move on to talk
kind of
about
a whore.
I'm a bit of a whore. I am. I admit that. But let's move on to movie reviews. The Bourne Ultimatum. That's probably the biggest movie this weekend. Wouldn't you agree, Neil?
I would agree. It's kind of a big deal.
Yeah. Directed by Paul Greengrass, who directed United 93, which was my pick for the best movie of last year.
Mm-hmm.
Where is he, people?
Noah Vosen.
This is Jason Bourne.
I was wondering when you were going to make this call.
Perhaps we can arrange a meet.
Where are you now?
I'm sitting in my office.
I doubt that.
Why would you doubt that?
If you were in your office right now, we'd be having this conversation face to face.
Everything in this movie is a secret, and it gets revealed as the movie goes on. And that's actually, I thought was really interesting in watching this movie. It is about something you can't explain. You don't know what it's about. Bourne knows what it's about. The bad guys know what it's about, but they don't let you in until the movie unravels through the rest of the film.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, but you didn't get a chance to see it, did you?
I did not. I was actually considering going to see it at midnight on Thursday, but no dice there.
No dice. Since I'm not in town, you have no friends in Columbus, right?
I have plenty of friends, don't you worry. I'm just very tired. But I tell you what, here's my thought on the Bourne ultimatum. I saw the last trailer in front of, I think I saw the full trailer in front of Superbad when I saw Superbad.
Yeah.
And it looked pretty hardcore. I have to say, of the three, this is probably the one that I'm looking forward to. You know, the other two, I was like, eh, another Bourne movie. Great, Matt Damon gets to, you know, do some kung fu. But with this one, I'm actually kind of excited to see it because it looks like it steps up the intensity a little bit. While I have not seen it, I'm willing to say it's worth taking a risk on because the past two have been pretty good movies. So
yeah. Well, see, I loved the second one. I thought the second one was incredibly well done. And this is done very well as well. Paul Greengrass does that, but he uses that documentary kind of filmmaking. So if you at all have a problem with the handy cam or the shaky cam, and you saw Blair Witch and you were going to throw up, or you saw U-1993 and you're going to throw up, you'll probably throw up in this movie. But not because it's a bad film, but because there's a lot of movement. But it's an exciting film. The action's great. It really steps things up. And it's not as good as the second one. I'd really like the second one, but it's definitely, you know, it hasn't gone downhill as a series would.
So, mm-hmm. I see.
Actually, we ate up a lot of time. I think I ate up all that time letting somebody reading my hate mail. So we actually have to go to a break here in a second.
And, all right.
When we get back, we're going to talk later in the show. We're going to have an interview with Patrick Warburton from Underdog, and we'll be doing a little bit of an talk on Underdog, Hot Rod, Becoming Jane, Bratz, all that in the next segment. So stick around, and we will see you soon.
And we're back, and we're going to talk about some other movies that come out this week, besides the Bourne Ultimatum. First up is Underdog, correct?
Correct, which we didn't get a chance to see. And that's not, right. But that's not because we were at Comic-Con. We didn't get a chance to see it because they didn't. I don't think they wanted a whole lot of press seeing this movie. That's the sense I got.
Okay.
And so when we don't get to see a movie because we've been sort of locked out of the screenings, what do we normally have to say?
It's a preemptive suck.
Preemptive suck.
But then again, it's a live action version of Underdog where the dog's mouth moves and it spits out Jason Lee's voice. I mean, how is that not a preemptive suck in and of itself?
There is no need to fear. Underdog is here.
You know, you never see dogs hurting each other for money.
You never see people sniffing each other's butts.
Hmm. Touché.
The thing was with this movie is, if I recall the original, I haven't watched the original Underdog cartoon in so long, but if I recall, the original Underdog cartoon was sort of like Rocky and Bullwinkle, where it kind of was a little more highbrow. It wasn't just for kids. Is that your recollection there, Neil?
Yeah, I wasn't really a big fan of the show, but I do remember it being intelligent, to say the least. So, and yeah. it really wasn't a Disney movie. Like, I never would have saw them creating what they created out of it. So.
Well, it seems like this is very much going for the family audience. Something like, did you see the Shaggy Dog with Tim Allen last year?
No.
No, you're gonna try and lie your way out of that one, weren't you?
No, I don't watch
sure,
crap.
Sure, I saw. Okay, the Shaggy Dog. This is very similar in feel, at least from the advertising, is what I get from Underdog. Is it's not going to be true as much true to the original source matter, but it's going to be a kids movie. And mm-hmm. although Underdog really never was a real little kids cartoon, but my kids want to see it. and they're begging me to go see it, and I think they'll ultimately like it. As long as the dog burps at some point in the film, I think my kids are going to enjoy Underdog. So, but since they didn't give us a trailer or didn't give us a screening, it is a preemptive suck.
Right.
Yeah. But Bourne Ultimatum, we didn't get to rate that. I say that that's a rocks, by the way.
That's a preemptive kind of rocks.
Yeah, it rocks. So, okay. Let's move on to the next one, Hot Rod, which we both got to see a while ago, actually. Right. And let's listen to a clip of that.
Hey, everybody. We have a new crew member today, Denise. So I thought it'd be fun if we all went around and said a little something about ourselves. I like to party.
I like to party.
No, Dave, I just said that I party.
I like to party.
No.
I like to party.
Okay, nobody parties but me.
Yeah, just Rod.
Yes.
And me.
Sweet.
Oh, my God.
I have to say this. I'm not very familiar with their material and their work, so to speak.
Kevin, you mean to tell me you've never put your junk in a box?
I've never put my junk in a box. I have to tell you that.
You should try that.
They do all the viral videos, isn't that what they do?
They do all the stuff for Saturday Night Live. Yeah.
And
so
I don't watch Saturday Night Live anymore. You got Chris Parnell as their like anchor, funny guy, and that's just a bad thing to begin with.
Well, now you got these guys, so you should start watching again.
I may have to start watching because Hot Rod was pretty doggone funny.
It was. I agree.
Not as funny as the guy. There was a guy at our screening who was behind us who laughed like a 50-year-old woman. But he laughed at everything in this movie, and it's not as funny as this guy thought it was, but it was still pretty funny. It's sort of, I think, didn't I describe it to you as if you had like a bunch of brain-damaged high school kids doing Talladega Nights?
Right, I agree, and I think it's kind of one of those comedies that it's in the vein of a Napoleon Dynamite, but it kind of rises above intellectually, because it seems to have more of a purpose than Napoleon Dynamite did. It has those random moments. There's a moment where he's on his motorcycle. Well, every time he gets on his motorcycle to do a stunt, he sees an animal.
Yes.
A random animal, which it feels random, but by the end you're just like, wow, that's funny in the sense that the movie's not taking itself very seriously. Plus, big fan of Ian McShane. Ian McShane plays Rod's stepfather, who is kind of the centerpiece of the film. And I thought he was very funny.
Yeah, all the characters and the actors in it were absolutely hysterical. And my favorite part, what I think is the best part about the film, is he never lands a stunt. It's like you're watching.
Whoa, spoiler.
He doesn't get better. You're watching and he keeps practicing. He never gets better. And it's like everything's a pratfall. And that's what's so awesome about the movie.
He may make the last stunt.
He may. I don't know. And that's, I'm talking about all the lead up, all the training.
Right.
You know, because normally when you see a movie like this, they have the whole Rocky montage moment. And the person's getting better and they're getting stronger. Not him. He just is like sucking through the whole. Through the whole sequence, and that's what's so great about it. And it has is it Ilsa Fisher? Is
Ela.
That how you pronounce her name?
Ela?
Is that
Fisher.
How you pronounce?
Well, that's how she told me to pronounce.
Is that how she? Is that what she told you last night?
Yes.
She's in it, and she's funny, but not as funny as Will Arnett, who plays her jerk boyfriend.
Right. Will Arnett steals every movie that he's in. He stole. What was the ice skating movie?
He stole RV, and that was a terrible film.
Right. He stole Blades of Glory earlier this year.
Oh, well.
I mean, the guy's he's fantastic. So, that's all I really have to say.
But anyways, I have to give a rocks to Hot Rod.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a rocks as well. Very funny. Very funny.
Other movies coming out this weekend, we're not going to play clips from. Well, of course, we have OMG. We have the Bratz movie has come out.
Which looks sweet.
Well, yeah, I am so glad that I am on vacation, so I don't have to go see it. Because
nice.
They did screen this, didn't they?
I think they did. I don't
know.
I've been gone too. Who knows? I just got back.
And then,
it's really humid here in Ohio, and it sucks.
It's humid down here.
Sorry to our listeners in Ohio, but the state sucks.
Yeah. Well, it's also humid down here in my undisclosed location in the south.
Right.
But other films we got coming up, we have Becoming Jane, which opens this weekend. And let me just tell you, they've been making a lot of Jane Austen movies lately.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, there's only one thing more boring than another movie based on a Jane Austen book, and that's a movie based on Jane Austen. And that's what this is.
Nice.
I fell asleep during this movie, and I haven't done that in a long time.
Oh, I can't wait to meet up with all the film critics and hear that story.
Oh yeah, ask Kristen Kramer who heard she was complaining because I was falling asleep because nice. You know she got into it because it was a little bit of a, you know, I think she liked it.
It was a woman power movie.
A little bit
movie?
Of that period piece. It wasn't. There's no power. It was just boring. It was Jane Austen kind of saying, you know what, I'm gonna do nothing.
Sweet.
That's what the movie's about.
Jane Austen takes my theory on life. It's pretty sweet.
Well, we got to go to a break. When we come back, we've got an interview with Patrick Warburton from Underdog.
Hello, Patrick. How are you?
Hey, Kevin. How are you?
I'm doing good. Tell me a little bit about your character in Underdog.
Well, Cad is the henchman to the evil villain Simon Bar Sinister. He's pretty much a thorn in his side.
Do you like playing henchmen? You seem to get that role sometimes.
Yeah, sure. Kronk was the evil henchman. Kronk is the evil henchman to Yzma. Cad is the evil henchman to Simon Bar Sinister. And that might be it for evil henchmen. I don't think I was another evil henchman. The two evil henchmen, that's enough.
Is this evil henchman as brilliant and as smart and cunning as Kronk?
Ooh, well, I don't know about that. Kronk is a very complex individual. Yeah. Cad's got his thesaurus, though. He's working on his vocabulary.
Did you get a chance to work with the dogs all that much?
Not a whole lot. Not a whole lot. In the lab a little bit. Yeah, I take that. We were around the dogs quite a bit in the end of the film, and a bit with Leo. Leo's the star. He's the one who plays Underdog. He has a couple of doubles that stand in for him, too, but Leo's the main dog.
Can you talk a little bit about the movie and kind of what it's for the family and that sort of thing? I'm assuming that's going very much for a family audience.
Yeah, Underdog is really a family movie. And it's, you know, PG, but it's Disney, it's family, it's really for the whole family. And it's, so it's great for kids, but it's not murder on mom and dad. It's, cute and clever enough for everybody.
Were you a fan of the original show?
I liked the original show. It debuted in 1964, which was the year I was born. So I remember the cartoon, but I haven't seen it in years, not for decades. So I had to kind of get a little reacquainted with it. But it was a great experience working on the film. You know, there's a lot of talk about projects that have something to do with special effects and kids and animals involved. We had all of that, and yet our days went pretty smoothly.
How much does this differ from the original show? Obviously, it's not a cartoon. It's live action.
Well, there are the purists that, I guess, are disappointed we didn't make the cartoon version. And but it really lends itself to a nice, you know, live action show. So that's what became of it with Disney, live action.
Do you like getting these roles as these sort of like, you know, kind of a side role that's usually pretty noticeable and talked about in a film? Can you talk about what it's like to kind of hit those, you know, the big bad wolf and Hoodwinked and those sort of things?
You know, that was a lot of fun. I mean, when you get when you do something like The Wolf and Hoodwinked, I thought was cleverly conceived little film, and so it's always fun to be a part of something like that. I'm really glad about just about every role I get offered, being that I have four kids to put through college. So for me, it's important to work. I love, you know, it's fun playing the bad guys. Sometimes they're really bad, and sometimes they're Disney bad. Disney bad is not so evil. Simon Bar Sinister, I would argue, is a bit evil. Cad is just sort of gone down the wrong path and following a bad influence or two. Very much like Kronk.
Can you talk a little bit about the difference between voice acting, which you've done an awful lot of, and screen acting, which you've done a lot of as well?
Well, the one major difference between doing voice acting and screen acting is the time commitment. Voice acting, you go into a studio for an hour or two, and if you're working on a film project, you're on a set for 12 hours that day. So it's a big difference in time. And whatever it is, there are varying degrees, too, of your involvement. The ultimate role for me would be, say, a character like The Tick, doing the live-action version of The Tick. There's a lot of dimension to that character because The Tick has a voice. He has a certain physicality, the way he moves. There are antennae on top of your head that are being moved mechanically. And so a lot's being created there. And plus, the most important thing is the very, very clever and brilliant writing of the Tick and conception of a character, and that's, you know, due to Ben Edlund, the creator. And so when you get an opportunity like that, you have to appreciate it because they don't come along often.
Great. Thank you very much for taking time to talk to us.
Well, thank you very much, Kevin.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Bye, Patrick.
Bye-bye.
And there you have it, as you heard, Patrick Warburton from Underdog and also playing another, evil henchman, as he did in The Emperor's New Groove. He's sort of a new version of Kronk.
Warburton's the guy from The Tick, right?
Yeah, he was. Well, yeah, and he talked about The Tick. He was the live action Tick. He was best known as Putty from Seinfeld.
Oh,
Elaine's boyfriend, who like broke up with her like 20 times in one episode.
Cool.
In the little bit we have left in this segment, Neil, why don't we just talk a little bit about what happened at Comic-Con? Anything big and exciting and wonderful?
I have two words for you, Kevin. Iron Man.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yes, I am going to go there. I have to say the number one coolest thing that we saw at Comic-Con was the footage that Jon Favreau and company brought to Comic-Con of Iron Man. Comes out next year, looks fantastic. I think they got the casting just right with Robert Downey Jr. He's a perfect Tony Stark.
I thought he was going to be in the movie Cocaine Man.
Sure. But that's a good point, is that Downey Jr.'s kind of had that alcoholic spree about
spree.
Him.
And, that 7-year
right. And Tony Stark is very similar. He was a kind of an alcoholic himself. So I think the casting's great. From the footage we saw, it was just fantastic. But I tell you, it is amazing when you go to Comic-Con. And for all of our listeners out there, if you have a chance to go to Comic-Con, it is the biggest...
Stay away, because there's too many people already.
123,000 people flocked to Comic-Con this year. This was my first year, and personally, I was blown away. A couple things. One, the size of the event. All the studios were there. We got to talk to some great people. You're going to hear it throughout the next couple of weeks. We got to talk to Edgar Wright and Nick Frost. We talked to Eli
Roth.
Who
you heard on the intro.
Yeah. We got the guys from Balls of Fury. We hung out with celebrities all week. But I tell you, I really have a respect for the geek population, the fanboy population and fangirl population.
Especially those fangirls out in Southern California.
Yeah, seriously. a few of them.
Because you go to a science fiction convention in Ohio, and they're all dressed the same in that skimpy outfit, but they all look like me.
Right.
And that's the difference.
Right. But I tell you what, there is no demographic out there that is more secure with themselves and honest about who they are and what they love than the geek demographic. It is truly amazing. You know, you meet people in Hollywood a lot of times that are very fake individuals, but these are very honest people who are very big fans, and I was just blown away. You have to... I don't know. That's all I have to say.
Enough sucking up to the geek population.
It was the coolest thing I've ever experienced.
Geek is chic. Geek is chic. So yeah, it is. Isn't that a cool term? We got to take a break now, and we're going to come back. We're going to wrap up, talk a little bit about the show, and give you a preview of what's coming up in the comments.
And we are back, and we are about to get wrapped up. But before we get wrapped up here, Kevin, one thing to talk about. You heard one of the intros that we played during this show was Edgar Wright and Nick Frost. Hot Fuzz is out on DVD this week. Also, 300 out on DVD this week. So I'm taking two picks
DVDs
of the week this week. So
yeah, it was a good week. There was a couple weeks there where we were getting stuff like Premonition and the number 23, and those were the headlining DVDs.
Right.
They saved themselves this week with Hot Fuzz and 300. Those would be my picks.
Yes, very, very awesome. I went to a certain large retailer that sells everything under the sun and got an exclusive 2-disc set, but I'm not going to name that retailer because they are the evil entity of the world.
Is it somebody who you collect a paycheck from?
Nope.
No? Okay, so a different, another unnamed evil empire.
Yep, it's the biggest corporation in the world, just okay. In case anybody's wondering. So yes, they've got an awesome 2-disc set.
Let's look at what's up next week. We've got another show from the road put together through the magic of satellite and the internet, where Neil and I will be from two disparate locations. And we will be doing a first here on Fat Guys. We are going to be doing what I'm going to refer to as psychic reviews. We are going to, as you know, it's fasting is good for the soul, so we're fasting from movie screenings for a week, and we're going to review all the screenings without watching the movies. Just to see how and then we'll watch the movies, and then we'll come back the next week. And
I don't
talk
see how that's very different, Kevin, because you sleep through all of them anyways. So
you don't even go see them. What are you talking about? You don't even go.
And there's nothing to no difference with
and
next week.
The only ones I slept through, say, Becoming Jane. I think the last one I fell asleep during was Signs of Sleep or Deja Vu, and that was a long time. And I fell asleep during Nacho Libre. All
right.
And I fell asleep during Alexander and. No, I couldn't sleep when I saw Alexander. I couldn't even go to sleep. That was so frustrating. I wanted to sleep in that movie, and I fell asleep during Gods and Generals. But that movie was like 18 hours long.
Yeah.
I was like Ted Turner's.
If you keep talking about it, I'm going to fall asleep during our show.
Oh, whatever. Okay, psychic reviews for next week. We're going to cover Rush Hour 3, Stardust, Daddy Day Camp, Skinwalkers. So listen to us with our predictions like Uri Geller, and we'll fix clocks with our mind and bend spoons.
Sweet.
What's our contact information, Neil?
If you would like to get a hold of us, as I said at the beginning of the show, fatguys@themovies.com. You can also hit us up on iTunes. Go to the iTunes store, type in Fat Guys at the Movies. And if you'd like to email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. And finally, if you would like to call us, area code 614-388-8735.
That's it for the show. We'll see you later.
Adios.